You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're here again with Jim Casal. Jim is the founder of Casal Saltpeter, a local firm that helps mid-market companies raise money. So, Jim, tell me a little bit about some of the things you've been writing about in your column. You know, I read your column all the time in the Herald, and maybe you can bring some of those insights here to our listeners.
Well, I think some of the things that I've written about recently are interest rates, the increase in interest rates, and the effect that that's going to have on business. Another thing is the immigration issues that are going on right now, and whether that's going to cause labor shortages. And it is causing problems right now. People aren't able to get talent that they need. And I will tell you that I talk to businesses around the country, and not that they attribute it to immigration or things, but they're attributing to the strength of the economy, the real problem in finding people at whether it's a nonprofit business, whether it's a technology business. There's a real shortage of talent out there. And it's a problem today, and it's going to be a problem going forward the way things are without additional, as we talked about earlier, some education, some retraining, and the ability to bring in people from outside the country and keep those from the outside the country who come here, get educated, and now we're asking them to leave. It's a problem.
So then, Jim, it seems to me that as our country grays and gets older, unless we bring in younger people, we're not replacing ourselves fast enough to get that kind of multi-dimensional growth in population that we need to support us. We're seeing that in places like Japan now, aren't we?
Well, Japan, you've seen that for a long time. And what's really saved the U.S. for years is we've had that immigration to give us a couple of percent. And what people don't remember is without the increase in population, we also run into an issue in terms of not having enough people. And it's a huge problem. And it affects GDP because the growth in population, you know, drives the housing industry, drives other businesses. And you see it somewhat in Germany. And Germany's has used a lot of technology in their factories to be able to mechanize. You're also seeing an interesting trend in China. You know, China, as a result of their one-child policy, which they've recently changed, now has a population which is aging and which will start to shrink. And if you think about it, if China really starts to shrink, and all of a sudden, over the next 30 or 40 years, they're not shrinking 10 million people because they're 10 million to us is 30 or 40 or 50 million to them. It raises some interesting dynamics on their future growth.
Yes, and also what that would mean is they project themselves across the world. So, but we don't talk politics here. So, Jim, then let's talk tax policy because, or rather interest rates, I'm sorry. So as interest rates are beginning to drift up, what's going to happen as we get the inflationary pressures? Will they have enough tools to work with? Will they use those tools? Do they want inflation to, diminish the value of the federal debt?
Well, you know, there's the target rate, which they've had for probably and talked about for the last 5 or 6 years. It's been there longer at 2%. So that we're just starting to hit. As a result, they're raising interest rates. And of course, you want them to raise interest rates to a certain extent because when we have the next recession, and we know that we're not that smart to know when it will be, but we know today we're one day closer to the next recession than we were yesterday. And you need interest rates to be able to bring them down again to try to stabilize and help. But the economy's in good shape. Interest rates have gone up, you know, what, once this year, I think. We'll probably see another three times this year, potentially. Although maybe it's two, maybe it's three. It's hard to say right now. But with employment continuing to grow, there's no reason that they will not. You know, the Fed won't increase the interest rates over the coming year.
So there have been other things that have been impacting inflation. Inflation's divided up into many different subcomponents, but energy's been going up.
Yeah,
energy's been going up.
Energy has been going up, which actually has been a good thing in certain respects because we're back to the it's a good thing from an economic standpoint. It may not be a good thing from an environmental standpoint because fracking is starting again. It's forced many of the big oil companies to determine how they can bring oil out of the ground at less cost, which they've been able to do. So they're now making profit. You know, there is some rate at which energy, if you're looking at oil, needs to be at a certain price level.
I think that the number $70 a barrel for certain technologies and maybe 100 for others?
Well, I haven't heard about the 100 recently. A lot of the fracking has come down to where it can be, you know, oil companies can make money in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Really?
The question really is at what level energy prices have to be to, without subsidies, encourage people to do solar, encourage people to do hydro and other methods. Obviously, the president at least has announced recently he's going to do more to help coal and help nuclear. You know, those technologies, you could argue, are not good, but he's trying to keep them in place. But with the Chinese and others selling solar panels at a lot less expensive, I mean, solar is a lot less expensive. And with some of the battery technologies, with companies like Tesla are leading, you know, solar and wind become something that you can use 24 hours where before you couldn't, because batteries are retaining more and the cost is coming way down, which gives you the ability to really use those technologies as not just a backup, but as a primary source.
So we talk a lot about when is it time for me to monetize my company. Is now the time when we're looking, when we're still in the economy's buoyant, when people have good sales track records? It seems to me like now's the time to pull some dollars off the table if you've got a family-owned business.
Well, what we've been advising people is that if you're going to be looking to sell your business in the next year to 2 years, do it now. Go to market now. Because the economy will slow down at some point, maybe go into recession. Some economists are predicting at the end of 2020 we'll see that. So that's a couple of years out. Interest rates are still, notwithstanding the fact that they've gone up, at historical lows. So buyers can pay. Prices today are still at historical highs. And the reason for that, there is so much money that is pouring into private equity and into the private lending market. It's a very frothy market. So we're telling people, if you're not going to wait till the next cycle, now's the time to do it. And you don't have to sell 100% of the company. You can sell 100%. You can sell a minority stake. You can sell a majority stake. You know, and the majority could be 51% or could be 80%. So there's a second bite at the apple. But if you sell a portion, 60, 70%, you can secure your family's future. You can continue to run the business, because keep in mind, most of the financial buyers are not operators. They're not looking to operate. They're looking to be supportive. They're looking to help. If something goes wrong, they may do regime change, as I call it, but they're not looking to operate. So you can do that. And then when there are children in the business and so much of the family's net worth is in the business, you can take some of that off the table to give the children the opportunity to continue to grow, where you can give the family that financial security away from the business.
Well, it also seems to me to be an issue of concentration. It will give you the opportunity to diversify your assets, diversify your business focus. It seems to me now is the time to do that. You pull a little bit off, you wait for a few years and things soften up in the economy, then you deploy that back out and you get a benefit for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Jim, let's talk. We've only got a couple more minutes in this segment, and I really wanted to find out, first of all, we just talked about it. So if somebody wants information, gets to talk to you directly, how do they do that?
Best way to reach us is either by email or phone. My email is jcassell, that's J-C-A-S-S-E-L, at C-S, C for Cassell, S for Sam, hyphen, I-B, I for investment, B for banking.com. Or my office number is 305-438-7701.
I want to take just a second. We've had your wife on the show. We've talked about the children's bereavement group that she heads. Exactly what do they do and how do people get some information on that? Because I think it's a very important thing here in our local town.
Well, thank you very much for asking about that. My wife, Mindy, co-founded the Children's Bereavement Center. They started back almost 20 years ago with 8 children from 5 families. They do peer support for children and families that have had a loss. Today, they have 9 locations opened in South Florida, in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. They'll be opening up in Overtown probably in September, and they're opening up actually next week up in Broward County, up near Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School. That was not obviously a planned opening where Overtown was, but the need is so great up there with the loss that took place, horrific loss that took place to both the families that lost, and frankly, everybody at that school has been touched by loss. And what they do is they really help people not get over, you know, people say you don't get over loss. You know, it doesn't matter when you lose someone. So what you do is you make it part of your life. You embrace it. You try not to have it hold you back. But it's something that the program does by just having other people let you know it's okay to cry. It's normal. And different days, you'll have good days and you'll have bad days. So they do wonderful things. They're here locally. They can be found by childrensbereavement.org. And it's the Children's Bereavement Center, or Lift from Loss, which is their program. They started for adults, but you know, and older kids. So Lift from Loss or Children's Bereavement Center in Miami. And please reach out. They're here to help everybody. It's free for everybody. It costs nothing. Loss is the great equalizer. Rich or poor, it affects us all. You know, not the same, but it affects us all. And they're there to help, and they've been here now for 20 years.
Yeah, I drove past, I was up in Coral Springs, I drove past the entrance to Parkland sign, and it just gave me the chills, so I can only imagine what people up there feel. Jim, we're up against the half hour. If you like, can you stay for another segment?
Absolutely. Glad to hang around.
That's great. Well, Wanda, this is where I say, it's your turn, Wanda. Let's rock the house.